Lothian.
I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go digging around for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag BehindTheMedia to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by RX Bar, which we have one right here, this box in front of us. It's the Whole Foods Protein Bar. Go to rxbar.com/CLNS. And use promo code CLNS for 25% off your first purchase. We're also brought to you by Little Park Media, where ideas come to life, producing corporate videos and podcasts to tell your story. For more, check out littleparkmedia.com. You can also contact Little Park Media at info@littleparkmedia.com. So again, their trademark product, coffee. Why can't it just be about coffee? Now it's about race. It's about police coming in and... It could have been any coffee shop.
Right. It happened to be Starbucks, which is interesting because of all the corporate giants out there that love making money,
right. To be perfectly honest with you.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's right. They're very politically savvy.
Right.
And have been for a long time as a corporate group.
Exactly.
And their reaction to this whole story has been pretty cool.
They're very conscious about public image and about their social responsibility and so forth. But this is a case where you have two black men who are in a Starbucks in Philadelphia. They're waiting for another person to come and arrive for them to have a meeting. Apparently, at that point, they haven't ordered anything yet. One of them wants to use the bathroom. They're told that since they didn't buy anything, they can't use the bathroom. Conversation ensues between, you know, the manager and these two black men. Eventually, the manager calls police to come in and get them out because they're loitering. They're in a place that they're not supposed to be. This would have just happened and gone off, and we wouldn't have known a thing about it.
No.
But the reason we're discussing it today and the reason it became national news is because it went viral on social media, and it's amazing. I mean, first of all, yeah, it's the little camera there, that the phone, everyone, you know, it used to be a time when people, you had to
use your phone for your phone.
Well, yes, and you used to use a camera for a camera.
Right,
you know,
that's right.
I can't remember how many times I wanted to take a picture and say, oh, I don't have my camera with me.
Right.
Now you have a camera with you at all times.
Yeah.
And so the first time someone got a shot of, you know, they were recording on what was going on inside. They posted it on Twitter. And then there was another angle that someone posted as well on YouTube.
Now, these guys were actually put in handcuffs and led out of the Starbucks.
They were arrested. I mean, that was like a real, it wasn't just the cops came in and talked to them. And you see the whole thing play out on video. And, of course, we posted one of those videos on our site on Facebook, so you can check it out there. We'd love to hear you
That's the Little Park Media site.
Little Park Media, yeah, Little Park Media. Media's page. You will find it there. You know, we'd love to hear
your comments.
Which
is where we are, live on every,
exactly.
Just for the record.
That's right. You can go in the comment section. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Not necessarily about the story itself, but the fact that this can be become such big news and grab our attention and become part of the conversation and force a big company like Starbucks now to essentially shut down for a day. And to have sensitivity training, you know, for people to deal with their unconscious bias.
Right. And again, let's look, you could call it PR 101, whatever you want, a crisis communications. They're being proactive about an incident that they were embarrassed about. The CEO is actually going to meet with the two guys
that were arrested.
Again, they're turning. But this could have happened at Dunkin' Donuts. This could have happened at any restaurant, McDonald's, Burger King, where you have open to the public, you walk in and look, I'll admit sometimes I go and I meet people at a restaurant, whether it's Panera or it's Burger King.
What do you mean you go and meet them? This sounds to hook up or what?
Well, that would be – no, I didn't – that was never in my mind, Dan, until you mentioned it.
It's like a business meeting.
I'm going to meet someone.
The way you said it made it sound like it was some nefarious kind of thing that you were going to –
It's just because you know me so well.
Well, that must be it. But the thing is that there are always cameras no matter where you go.
Citizen journalism is what they're calling this now. Public eyewitness news.
And you came up with that yesterday, by the way, during our story meeting.
That's not
original. That was cool. Well, I thought it was cool. I liked it.
You know what? If you think it's cool, Dan, I think it's cool.
But it's a powerful thing. So when we started talking about this word of – or this notion of citizen journalist years ago, there was – for established journalists, the notion that people out there on their own with no background in journalism were going to drive the train or the bus on a story was shocking. Oh, no, we're giving up control of coverage of news to an individual who doesn't understand anything about how you cover news. And I think a lot of reporters saw this as a threat. And there was, I don't think there was any thinking that there could be anything beyond a house fire or a car accident because they happened to be there when journalist cameras were not there.
Yeah.
But it really has been transformed well beyond that to where now, you know, network news coverage in a way is being dictated by a citizen journalist and what they're able to capture.
Absolutely. And it's really collateral damage from the 24/7 news cycle that exists because of social media, because of the fact that everybody's walking around with cameras in their phones and on their watches and wherever. Hey, look, this could be a camera, too. I watch TV shows.
Hey, but you said collateral damage. That's a negative connotation. What do you mean by that? Like, so collateral,
well, in other words,
is that
they,
bad?
All because they are dictating content.
Right. Is that bad? So you're saying it's bad if they're dictating content.
What's their news judgment?
Well, there
is the public.
No,
there's no news
there
judgment.
There isn't. But isn't it a fact that it is up to whoever runs with it, and if the nightly news is going to run with something, they might treat it differently than if it just goes viral on the internet. Because, yes, it's compelling video, whatever it is, and this isn't the first one, but it's compelling video, but then it has to be vetted by the news organization, number one, and it has to be put into some kind of context, number two, and then after you put it into some kind of context, you also have to add the voices of the law enforcement and the bystanders, the eyewitnesses. So it's not just video unfiltered going out there. It gets packaged in a certain way. And that's the difference. So you can argue about what the intent is, what the citizen journalists running around with their phone and how that could be detrimental to real news. But at the same time, they're feeding this information, and then it's up to the news organizations to, you know, decide whether or not they're going to run with it and how they'll run with it.
Right. And this is a story. You sent me this story. Do you remember who wrote this story?
I don't remember.
Too bad.
No.
Because it's a really good story. I'm going to read portions of it. Basically, it's talking about what journalists look for. We look for big stories. We look for scoops. We look to dig and find out information about something that may have happened that nobody knows about even.
Right.
And then come at you with the facts, and then you decide. And here's the story. With citizen journalism and what they call individual microaggressions.
Whoa.
That's a great term, right?
It is, yeah.
And we all recognize, we being responsible adults, recognize right and wrong, correct and incorrect behavior rather than directions, because we're very sensitive to directional thinking around here.
Oh, that's wrong to do, especially
with
millennials.
That's right, because I'm on the wrong side or the right side, whatever I am. Anyway, this is great, because this is a quote, I feel bad. Indeed, a keen sense of right and wrong and a desire to bring malefactors to justice is one of the main reasons that people pursue this thankless and often low-paying career as a journalist. That is such a great thing.
I don't know that I thought my career is thankless and low-paying.
I always felt that we had an obligation to the people who were our audience.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what our job was.
That's what got me into this business. Yeah. I never thought of it as thankless, and even though I was underpaid when I first started, it was a privilege to be part of this.
I've been underpaid my entire life for everything I've ever done.
But you've been overloved, so that's
a
wonderful
thing. And you
know
what? That's what keeps me going. Because it is about the love. It is about what people – I like
underpaid,
to be like
– overloved.
I like it when people I've never met before walk up to me and just give me a hug.
Ooh.
I just think that's nice.
And I think that's creepy.
You don't like people.
No, get out of here with that hug, you hugger.
Anyway,
go hug a tree.
What happened to journalism? You know, these citizen videographers have impacted what dictates news. We've talked about this. What is news, Dan?
Right.
News is something that is interesting to a whole bunch of people.
Right. And sometimes news isn't news until you see it. You can hear about it.
Right.
So what was it?
Ray Rice. Rice incident in
the
elevator when he cold cocked his significant other. I don't know if it was wife or his girlfriend.
And there was this whole reaction from the NFL in terms of what they were going to do, and it changed. It shifted
as the video got out there.
Right. We see that a lot of times.
And it's similar. I'm going to bring up Colin Kaepernick again, because seeing him sitting for the national anthem is keeping him out of that league still.
Well, and It's almost, well, that's like a whole, now you've opened a can of worms.
Of course
but
I
think in that particular
Are
case,
you calling
it's not
the NFL worms, by the way.
Actually, I'm calling it much worse than that, but I won't do that here. But it's not necessarily what he did. It is, that's what triggered it, but that he just did it and that was it. It was what everybody else started doing and the visuals of that. But it's not just, I mean, that's sort of more established journalists, you know, production cameras in place and so forth. It's a different dynamic now when you hear about something that happened and it doesn't really become a huge story until you see the video. And the only reason you see the video now is because technology allows for cameras to be on every street corner. So there's that aspect of it. Every elevator, every building, some homes have them now. Everyone has a way to monitor everything. But then in addition to that, you have these roving cameras that
they're called eyeballs.
They're eyeballs.
Right.
I mean, there's no way that
news
organizations...
And it's the product that commercial media makes their money off, by the way.
It is. It is. And a lot of those folks now can get some money off of that video that they get. But the thing is that you can never...
I see the credit. Always get a credit. And it's like $100 if they get it and they run it or something like that.
Exactly. But the thing is that you look at journalists and news organizations can't be everywhere at once, number one. And they can't get there soon enough. You know, when a story breaks, if a plane is coming down, you know, sometimes they happen to be in the area and they look up and there it is. But there's always someone somewhere with a camera now. That can capture that footage.
The footage that was inside the plane of the horrible accident
Southwest,
where a fan broke off the engine. The collateral damage broke a window and half sucked her out the window.
Right.
She was in a seatbelt, which, by the way, I just booked two flights. I'm not on the window.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean, like the aisle just because
you're
my
long. You have long legs.
Plus, if I want to go to the bathroom, which
you
I
don't
do
have to bother anyone.
I don't have to say, excuse
anyway,
me.
Anyway.
Excuse me.
Speaking of eyewitness news, and
yes.
This is a trend, but
yes.
I'm going to say, I learned something about these phones with cameras
goodness,
in them.
You learned something.
Well, yes, every day.
Oh, very
from
good.
Citizen journalists, I might add. Because I've always reprimanded people for holding their cameras
vertically. That was like
vertically.
A big thing for you, yes.
It was a big I was like, come on, guys, it's 69. Hold it like this.
Right.
And that way it fills the whole screen.
You have breaking news here on this?
Android phones.
You don't have to.
You don't do that.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't do
that
it.
That solves my problem.
Android
so
phones
I,
do not do it.
Listening to you, I was out shooting something the other day. I turned it sideways. What that does is it whoops
gives you
it.
The two black... Back.
No, it does. It stretches. It does this weird thing when you flip it around. It does this. It's like wow. Yes,
I like that.
So because of because of you and this
hard
line thing that you've had going for a while, you influenced me, and then I now screwed up on the video I shot with my camera.
Sorry.
And, yes.
Well, now you know.
Now I know.
Now you know why, and now I know why. So if you have an iPhone, which I do and have had for a long time, you do hold it horizontally because it delivers a 16.9. If you hold it vertically, you get the two black bars on either side.
Right.
And with an Android, it doesn't matter because they want you to shoot it vertically.
Right.
But it's a pain in the neck to edit because you end up with the two black bars.
That's shooting on your phone, iPhone, or Android 101.
That's it.
Courtesy of Reverend Jimmy.
And, of course, that means the next time you're seeing something happening in your neighborhood and you pull out your phone, you'll know how to hold it.
Look, this is not a funny story, what's happening with Starbucks. It is the grim reality of what happens around every day in minority communities, and there's this whole discussion around it, and I have to applaud the way that Starbucks has been handling this situation. But again, I'm thankful. While I do have reservations about putting the power of journalism in the hands of citizen journalists, I am thankful that there are so many cameras out there because we've seen incidences of police encounters with individuals, and not to say that it's always the police problem or fault.
No, it can be a runaway bus.
But I'm saying in the police case, there are times when you think that the police was the aggressor in the case, and when you see these home videos or these phone videos, you realize that they were doing their job and they're not at fault here.
Right.
But I think it's good in having it out there. It's for us then once we get that video to decide how will we use that video. And what kind of context will we place around it to be responsible journalists?
Yeah, and I'm going to also defend our first responders out there, because there was another video that was on the news, and it had to do with the Cambridge police and a guy who was from an undergrad from Harvard who had taken some, I believe, LSD, right, and was running around naked, and he was a little disoriented, let's just say.
That's
a pretty good, you know, by the way, you don't really need a visual of that. You kind of get it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But they, sure enough, they showed the end where they had to control this guy, and he was out of control. And they're only showing you 20 seconds. They're showing you the final chapter of this
encounter
with this guy. And it looks like the police are abusing this guy, because you're only looking at 20 seconds as opposed to the 5 to 8 minutes that it took to get to that point.
Right. Well, you know, and the good thing is that usually there's a video. These videos are released sometimes raw. So you can find them. You can usually go somewhere and find it, and that puts it into context, because you can watch the whole thing.
Right.
Not the news.
You're going to take the highlights. Give me the highlights.
Yes, exactly.
Just the highlights. And that's the nature of the business. That's the nature of 24/7, the cycle, and still having a job to cover what is news for the day.
Exactly.
What are people talking about around the water cooler in the office?
And now people can dictate what other people will be talking about around the water cooler. They don't have to wait to the nightly news to decide that. Anyway, thank God for social media. That's all I can say.
Because we wouldn't be here doing this live, actually. Exactly. So, yeah, we like social media.
Exactly. Anyway, if you like this episode, let us know. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag #BehindTheMedia to engage with us on Twitter. And by the way, as we pointed out, if you want to check out that video, everybody's seen it. But if you haven't, you can go to our Little Park Media site. We posted that video there in its entirety, so you can see it. Have any questions or comments, let us know at info@littleparkmedia.com.